I'm speaking with Roy Andrade, who plays the claw hammer banjo and sings with the group The New Real-Time Travelers. This band is a fresh ensemble of old-time musicians. The band will be playing on Friday, April 18th. That's tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. at the Paradise Cedar. Thank you so much for joining me today, Roy.
I'm glad to be with you. Thanks.
I read that you're a bit of a music historian, and you were the graduate student of Appalachian Studies, and you worked with the archives of Appalachia. What got you interested in Appalachian history, and can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I grew up in Asheville, North Carolina. Most of your listeners have heard of Asheville by now. When I was growing up there, which wasn't that long ago, Asheville was barely on the map. But, of course, it's in the heart of Appalachia. And it's always been kind of a gathering place of old-time musicians. Just the topography around there, the way the landscape is, people kind of have always gathered in Asheville and the surrounding towns there. So having grown up around it, I just, I've always had an ear. The music has always felt like home, like, familiar. I grew up playing the accordion, though, the keyboard accordion as a kid, from the time I was about 4 years old. And it wasn't until my teens, my early teens, that I started playing stringed instruments. But, yeah, in 1999, I had been living in California and moved back home to be close to my dad, who was ill, and came here to East Tennessee State University, where I'm talking to you from now, to study Appalachian studies and old-time music as a graduate student. And in the middle of that experience, I was with my wife then, Heidi. And she and I met another couple who had also come to this university to study the same thing, Thomas Snead and Martha Scanlon. And the four of us met here on campus, really about 50 feet from where I'm talking to you now from, and started a band called Real Time Travelers. And that kind of interrupted my graduate career for a while. We spent the next 6 years in a van and on airplanes, playing old-time music all over the country. And it was after that experience, and the band played its last gig in the early part of 2006, that I started to teach here in a program called Bluegrass Old-Time and Country Music Studies. It's the only place in the world where you can get a bachelor's degree in traditional American music, and so here I am, and I really couldn't be happier to be doing what I'm doing. I have an instrument in my hands pretty much all day, every day, teaching people how to play the fiddle and the banjo and the guitar and coaching string bands and talking about the history of bluegrass music and folk music and country music and talking about living your life as a musician, whether you're playing on stages or not. All that kind of stuff. And it's also really nice because it affords me the time to tour in the summer and to come to beautiful places like Peonia and in the spring. And they encourage, here at the university, they encourage me to be out performing professionally. So I'm psyched about that.
No doubt. That's a great job.
I like it.
Rob Miller, who's one of our great KVNF DJs and producer of the Pickin' in the Park series, he was telling me that you guys inspired a lot of bands that he knows to kind of play a simpler form of this music, old time, rather than, sort of the blustering competitive music that that is sometimes bluegrass. And he said that you showed a lot of folks that you can have fun playing the original acoustic melody driven music, that you sort of brought that back onto the scene, in his opinion.
I was going to say that's nice of him to say. I don't really think of old time music as simpler. and bluegrass, but it is more melody driven, and I think tends to be more nuanced in a lot of cases. Depends on who you're talking about. It's really kind of hard to you know, you're really only speaking in generalizations when you talk about, you know, genre names. It's just a convenient way to talk about it. But the way I think of old time music is as a very sophisticated and nuanced form that, you know, is drawing its inspiration and ideas, like stylistic ideas and creative ideas from old recordings and for, you know, the way country music was before everyone was listening to the same stuff. Mm-hmm. Before we had radio stations like yours or recorded music. Back then, everybody sounded so different from one another, and we're really lucky to have that stuff on record because we can go back and listen to it and get ideas and just kind of delight in it. But you have to learn how to listen through the scratchiness of it. If you can listen through that, it's kind of an amazing world that opens up to you. And so I think Rob's right. Yeah, I mean, that's nice to hear that we inspired other bands. But yeah, I think there's a communal component of old-time music. It's not a music where we're taking that many solos. It doesn't really feature an individual as much as, you know, it's a collective thing. And we're not, our band was the kind of band that you really couldn't replace anyone. It wasn't, you know, bluegrass tends to be a revolving door in a way. If your banjo player isn't working out, there's you know, 10 other banjo players take his place. At least there are in the South. Out there, I mean, I realize that, you know, really good bluegrass musicians are a little harder to come by. They're not quite as many, but generally speaking, that's how bluegrass works. You know, you've got people who play a very specific style of music, and if somebody doesn't work out, then you just, it's like plug and play. You get a new one.
Right.
But our band was not like that. Everyone was essential to the sound. And we kind of learned what it was like to play in bands as a group. You know, none of us had really had that kind of an experience before. I mean, we played in bands, but not like that. And we were all really eager and excited about the music at the same time. All four of us were kind of at the same point in our discovery. So we learned together, and there was just a lot of excitement in the discovery of it and in discovering one another and seeing the country. And then people seemed to like it.
Yeah.
In addition to all that great stuff. So it just was a really beautiful experience for us. And I'm glad to hear that it resonated with people.
Now we'll hear something from the Real Time Travelers off their 2002 release, Live in Real Time, Think in Old Time. This is Hallelujah.
Broken down dreams, rust in a race where's the TV paper song, standing in line to be the first to sell the story the end of time. Got peeling pain on the doors and the sides, in all the passing colors of Oklahoma skies. She's the color of my heart, color of my jeans. She's a two-door picture of a broken-down queen singing.
You're tuned into Talkin' Music. We've been speaking with Roy Andrade from the new Real-Time Travelers. What's the old-time scene all about these days? Like, it was strong in the 80s with the Freyhoppers and the in the 90s with you guys and the Wilders. Who do you see as sort of the up-and-coming bands to watch on the scene these days?
Gosh. Honestly, I'm not all that up on it. I mean, you'd think I would be because of what I do. I spend my day with young old-time musicians, but you know, there's like a new level of old-time star bands with Old Crow and the Carolina Chocolate Drops. You know, I really haven't heard any. I don't really know. I don't know who's out there trying to tour. You know, like you said, each decade seems to support maybe one old-time string band full-time.
Uh-huh.
you know, it's hard to do it. I think that's changing somewhat because old time music has become, I think there are people who are treating it more like a performance art, which it can be. I think our band showed that you can play this music from the stage, and you can present it in a way that you know, honors your audience rather than just whacking away at your instruments. And I think there's just lots of different varieties of old time music. But just to answer your question, I don't really know.
Yeah,
I haven't been playing festivals regularly to see who all is out there. But I know a lot of really good young players, but I don't know who the young old time bands are.
So I heard that you worked with Doc Watson and spent some time with him. And
yeah, I've been for 3 years. I've been working as the producer of a 4-CD box set of the music of the Watson family. It was created by Nancy Watson, who's Doc Watson's daughter, and she picked out all the material, sequenced it. She made 60 collages of family photos that no one's ever seen. There's 500 and something photographs. So it's a massive project. And I just talked to the printer today, just before I talked to you, actually. He's sending me the first shipment this week. So it's a very exciting time for me. It's been a mountain of work. I mean, I wrote the liner notes, which are extensive, and then produced the project, started a record label to release it for the family. So it's just been, you know, we're coming to the end of a long and really satisfying road. We'll have the project in hand at the end of the week, and we're releasing it officially at Merlefest, which is the festival that Doc Watson himself started in honor of his late son, Merle.
How did you know, yeah, Doc?
Well, I met Doc through Nancy. I met Nancy when I was working here in the archives in the late 90s. I met her by phone, and we just became friends. And one thing led to another, and when it was time for her to, she was looking for a way to release this project, she called me. And, gosh, I bet I've been up there 150 times to Deep Gap, just over and over and over, interviewing Doc, getting information to write the liner notes. It's been a really amazing thing, and it was amazing to get to know Doc and to sing with him and play some songs with him. And he was the same guy sitting on his living room couch as he was on stage. Just the same.
Yeah. I was watching some old videos of him, and he just seems like he just is just so sweet. Like, he just seems like the nicest, sweetest guy, aside from being a brilliant musician.
He was very nice. Very nice man. He would engage you right away. You know, if the first time I was there, he cut to the chase. There wasn't any, so what do you do, Roy? So, there wasn't any kind of screening. You know,
yeah.
He just made me feel from the beginning like I belonged there, and that he was glad that I was there. And that just, you know, put me at ease and helped me just to relate to him like I would anyone else, which just makes things nice.
So this Watson family, it's called the Watson Family Box Set?
No, it's called Milestones.
Okay.
Legends of the Doc Watson Clan.
All right. And this is something that will be available to people after it's released at Merlefest?
Yeah, the official release date is April 30th, and folks can purchase it on the website of the label, which is... Open Records docwatsonmusic.com. Mm. You can also find it at docwatsonmilestones.com. It takes you to the same place.
I've been talking to Roy Andrade. Let's hear another song from the Real Time Travelers. Here's A Little Bird of Heaven.
Side of the can, there's a little bird of heaven right here in your hand. I looked up and I looked back, walked 100 miles on the railroad track. All's I can tell from where I stand, there's a little bird of heaven right here in my hand.
Well, I've been speaking with Roy Andrade, who is coming to town with the new Real Time Travelers this Friday, April 18th. The show starts at 7:30 p.m. That's at the Paradise Theater. Tell us what folks can expect at this show. Who's playing with you, and what are you guys going to do?
Well, it's Thomas and I from the Real Time Travelers, and then singing and playing the fiddle is Bessie Ellis from The Wilders. She is, if you've ever seen The Wilders, then you know exactly who Bessie is. She's just a force of nature as a musician and one of the just most pleasant people I know. So she's doing her thing on the fiddle, and Carol Elizabeth Jones, who all of us in the band knew of long before we actually knew her, because she's somewhat of a legendary old-time singer. She's playing guitar and singing some original songs and a bunch of traditional stuff. And then Ben Winship, who lives in the Teton Valley up in Victor, Idaho, Ben is just a string wizard. He does it all. He was in the Loose Ties in the 80s and early 90s, and he's just been involved in all sorts of stuff over the years. great skier and fisherman and recording engineer and singer and songwriter and player. Ben just can do it all. And he'll be playing the octave mandolin. And then Eric Doreen, who folks know from around Boulder, and I guess he lives in Lyons, maybe? Eric will be on bass. So it's a six-piece band. It's a big band. We'll have lots of big string band sounds, but then we also plan in our set to feature duos and trios, and, you know, in the middle of the set, we'll have some more spacious, maybe a fiddle and banjo number or an a cappella number or some, you know, two- or three-part harmony a cappella. We'll have dance music and original songs and lots of good traditional material also. Some people will probably get killed in our songs. Some people are going to fall in love. There's probably going to be a good bit of drinking and some late-night debauchery. There's going to be some eating of good food in the music and climbing mountains and probably going down some rivers, all those kinds of things.
Great. Well, thanks so much for joining me today, Roy, and we look forward to seeing you here in a couple of days.
Okay.
All right. Good deal. Yeah.
See you soon.
And we'll go out with one more from the Real Time Travelers. This one is called One Time Charlie's Railroad Blues. This is Allie Lightfoot. You've been listening to us on KVNF 90.9 in Paonia, KVMT 89.1 in Montrose, and on the web at kvnf.org. Stay tuned. Coming up next, All Things Considered.